Never trust a dentist who says, this will only hurt a little. You know you're in for some pain when the dentist says that, right? Never trust a drunk who says, I only had two little drinks. And never trust someone who says, I can stop anytime I want to. And never trust someone who says, you will not certainly die, for God knows that when you eat of it from it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. The list goes on and on and on. In a world of distrust, who can we trust? Who can we trust? This week, I had a devotional of mine from Jeremiah 17, verses 7 to 8, that read, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, who trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. What wonderful words. Jeremiah was a prophet of God to the people of Judah before its fall to the Babylonians. Jeremiah's God-given task was to call the people of Judah of Israel to turn back to God. If they did not repent, judgment was imminent. You see, the people's hearts had hardened toward God. They became apostates, turning to idol worship, worshiping the gods of the Canaanites. They put their trust in human rulers, their kings rather than in God. And they committed many sins before the Lord. Their society became socially and morally decayed. And Jeremiah kept pointing this out to the people and telling them to repent, to turn from their sin, from their idol worship, to turn back to God. Otherwise, his divine judgment and wrath would come upon them. And because of this, he received a reputation of pessimism and gloom. He was a killjoy to the people, I guess you could say. But he was warning them. That was his task, his God-given task, his calling. And unfortunately, the nation did not listen. They kept on serving idols, trusting in man, and doing sin against the Lord. And God's judgment came through the Babylonians who conquered Israel and sent them into exile. You know, our society today parallels much of what was going on back then. Our nation has turned away from God. People are serving other gods and idols. People live happily in their sin, even celebrating it. And this is not just the people who don't know any better, who don't know the Word of God necessarily, but this is even happening in our churches where we've allowed sin and actually celebrate it. People trusting in themselves over political leaders, over God, we're seeing that. The words of God through the prophet Jeremiah describe such a people in Jeremiah 17, 5 and 6, a couple verses before the ones that we just read. It says, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land. No wonder our society has so many people who feel hopeless, are depressed, who have turned to drugs and other substances to dull the hurt, the pain, the suffering. They're feeling like shrubs in the desert, just surviving, never thriving. Perhaps this is even how you're feeling today. And we're all reminded today that we should trust in the Lord. King Solomon tells us about the one person we can trust in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 12. Let's read them together. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 12. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights. I want to focus on 3 points that Solomon tells us about trusting God. First, put your trust in the right person. Second, allow trust to bless your life. And third, show evidence of your trust throughout your lifetime. So first, put your trust in the right person. The first few verses we just read, Solomon writes, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil." Golda Meir, do you guys know Golda Meir, who she was? Was elected Prime Minister of Israel on March 17, 1969, after serving as a Minister of Labor and Foreign Minister. Israel's first and world's third woman to hold such an office. She was described as the Iron Lady of Israel, of Israeli politics, years before the epithet became associated with British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher. Former Prime Minister David Ben-Gurion used to call Meir the best man in the government. She was often portrayed as a strong-willed, straight-talking, gray-bunned grandmother of the Jewish people. Golda Meir was a quiet leader, but she was also quite the leader. She said, "Trust yourself. Create the kind of self that you will be happy to live with all your life. Make the most of yourself by fanning the tiny inner sparks of possibility into flames of achievement." Now, I don't want to dismiss this well-known quote entirely, but a very tough and effective leader of her time. But I do believe that all of us need to have a certain level of self-confidence in ourselves in life, but there's also a limit to how much we can trust ourselves. The reason I say this is because of what God says in his word. Isaiah 55, 6 to 9 says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." It doesn't sound like we humans can be trusted, like Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can understand it?" You know, as people, we say one thing and we do another. Our worship is not always sincere. We do not think or do like God who has created us. He is higher than us. His ways are higher than our ways. And consequently, we shouldn't put too much confidence and trust in our own thinking, our own ways, our own wisdom. And when we do, we're headed for trouble. This was very apparent in my life as a younger man. You know, I thought I knew how to achieve happiness and success in my life. And I didn't need to trust in the Lord. I could trust in myself. And it ended up in destruction. You know, I was going to raves every weekend. I was doing more and more drugs to find happiness and purpose in life. You know, I was doing okay with work and living on my own and had money in the bank account and owned my car and all this kind of stuff, but it wasn't fulfilling, and I was headed for destruction. And the Lord spoke to me and said, "Yarno, if you keep on trusting in your own wisdom, your own ways, you will end up in destruction." And he called me in his mercy and grace back to him. Proverbs chapter 3, 5-7 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and turn away from evil." You know, we are weak, but he is strong. We are ignorant in many ways, but he is all wise and all knowing. We often think wrong and do wrong, but he is holy and always does the right and loving thing. We need to put our trust completely in God, not in ourselves. D.L. Moody said, "Trust in yourself and you are doomed to disappoint. Trust in your friends and they will die and leave you. Trust in reputation and some slanderous tongue may blast it. But trust in God and you are never to be confounded in time or eternity." You know, in the same way, we cannot put our trust entirely in another person. Today, our society is very political. It's a very political charged climate we live in. And easily we can put our hope and trust for a better future completely in a politician. And yes, they do have great influence on our nation, so we ought to vote prayerfully pray for our leaders as well. But we must remember that it is not them who can bless us, sustain us, and save us. Kings, presidents, prime minister, they're just people. And just like people, they are flawed. They can make bad decisions, be bribed and corrupted. They even die. There is only one who isn't flawed, who is incorruptible, makes all perfect and good decisions, who can bless us in eternal ways. One who never dies, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, our God, our King, our Savior. Isaiah 26, verses 3-4 says, "You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock." Amen. Second, allow trust to bless your life. Proverbs 3:8 says that when we trust in the Lord, it will be healing to our flesh and refreshment to your bones. Do you need healing for your flesh and a refreshment to your bones today? Wow, doesn't that sound good and wonderful? I've heard a number of people say, "Aging isn't easy." Isn't this the truth? We used to think that aging meant the golden years. But once we get there, we're not guaranteed a golden age. Age and health problems seem to go together, as does a lack of energy. Let's see, who believes this? Who has felt this? Okay, all right, many of us. Even now, as I'm reaching into my mid-40s, I can feel a difference in my health. Just this week, a couple days ago, we were packing up my truck at the cabin there. And luckily, the snow melted enough that I could back it down the steep hill there to load it up so we didn't have to drag everything up the hill. But we got it loaded up and set off, and after a few hours of driving back home, we arrived home, and as I hopped out of my truck, I have a lower back pain going on. I just felt it like somebody just grabbing the lower part of your spine or something. I was like, oh, ouch. And even today, I still feel it standing here. I'm thinking, wow, if this is happening in my 40s, what will it be like 10 years from now, 20, or even 30? I better start exercising more. So does this verse promise good health to those who put their trust in the Lord? Well, maybe not totally, but in some ways, yes. Anytime we put our trust in the Lord, do right, live right, and try to live a healthy lifestyle, we will be blessed with a better health. Maybe not perfect health, but decent health. And decent health or good health is a blessing from God. It really is. We should ask the Lord for good health in our old age. I've had a number of our senior church members who are much older than I say to me, "I don't have any pain at all." There's people out there who just feel good. and they're in their 80s, even 90s. If that's you, then praise the Lord. If that's not you, I still encourage you to praise the Lord. Even though I may still have back pain today, I'm still praising the Lord for the decent health that I have. I can still function and do many things. No matter what, we praise the Lord and continue to put our trust in Him. Amen? We know that this life is not all there is to life. This life is temporary, guys. We're just passing through this world. A better life is coming. A better body is coming to all who are in Christ Jesus. He is our Lord and our Savior, our God. Philippians 3:21-21 says, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform," listen to this, "transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body, by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself." No matter how good your health is today, your health will be even better in heaven. You'll get a heavenly body that will never wear out, nor will you ever be tired. Sounds wonderful, doesn't it? This is a promise of God, guys. Who in their right mind wouldn't want this? It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Guys, we know that Jesus is our healer of our mind, our body, our soul. And sometimes when we pray and ask for healing, God does heal us physically. Miraculously, He has healed us, some of us. But we must also see this from an eternal perspective, that all who believe in Jesus, trust in Him, will be healed one day. It may not be in this lifetime, but it will come to pass in eternity. So we can say that our trust in the Lord will be healing and refreshment to our bones. We can say that confidently. Putting our trust in the Lord is the best way to live. And yes, we should take care of our earthly bodies as best we can that God has given us, for they are temples of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And we should go on our daily walks. We should go to the gym. We should move. Right? Right, Zach? Right. Zach's into CrossFit and he loves it. But always remember this, 1 Timothy 4:8, "For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come." Amen. Living a godly life by trust in the Lord will benefit us spiritually more than anything else. This physical life is coming to an end, and we look forward to a better life in heaven, our eternal life. But we must put our trust in our Lord Jesus and not ourselves nor in anyone else. For only eternal life comes from Christ through the forgiveness of our sins. Third, show evidence of your trust. Proverbs 3:9-12 continues, "Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, or be weary of His reproof. For the Lord reproves him who He loves, as a father's son in whom He delights." Honor the Lord with your wealth. That means give back a portion of your blessings back to God. And don't despise the Lord if He disciplines you for your own good. Both of these commandments tell us that we must show evidence in our life that we really do trust the Lord. We back it up with action, with deeds, and not just words. The proof of our faith is what? The proof of our faith or trust in the Lord should be seen in our lives, how we live, what we do, the decisions we make, and how we take hardship in life. James 2:18 says, "But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works.' Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Proof of our faith, our trust in the Lord, will be seen in our works. In Proverbs 3, we're commanded to honor the Lord with our wealth. You know, many people are willing to serve the Lord, do good deeds and the like, but then their wallet is off limits to God. A preacher announced from the pulpit, "I have good news and bad news. First, the good news is we have enough money to pay off the church mortgage." A sigh of relief went through the congregation. The preacher continued, "The bad news is the money is still in all your pockets." But think about it. Our giving shows how much we trust the Lord. It really does. Do we trust Him to provide us with 90% of our earnings after we give 10%? Or do we trust Him to provide for us when we give nothing? When people don't give back to God, what does that say about their faith? It may well say that we don't trust God like we should. 2 Corinthians 9, 6-10 says, "The point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, He has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness." Did you notice the result of our giving? He will give back to you. And this is actually the only commandment that the Word of God tells us to put Him to test in. He will supply and increase your store of seed. Giving back to God is evidence that we trust in Him to provide for us. He blesses us so we can bless others, guys. The evidence of our faith and trust in God is also seen on how we take difficulties and hardships in life, regardless of why they come or how they come. My wife Lisa and I are encouraged by a Christian lady named Joni Erickson. Who's heard of Joni Erickson? She's an amazing, faithful, committed woman to the Lord. And she's a quadriplegic. You may know her story. Joni was born in 1949 in Baltimore, Maryland, the youngest of four daughters. As a teenager, she enjoyed riding horses and hiking and tennis and swimming. But on July 30th, 1967, she dove into Chesapeake Bay after misjudging the shallowness of the water. She suffered a fractured spine and became a quadriplegic, paralyzed from the shoulders down. Now, many of us would think, man, life is over. What can I do for the Lord? But Joni founded Joni and Friends in 1979, an organization for Christian ministry for the disabled community throughout the world. In 2006, Joni and Friends International Disability Center in Aguara, California was established. And led by Joni and Doug Maza, the Joni and Friends International Disability Center has four programs. Joni and Friends has a daily five-minute radio program heard in over 1,000 broadcast outlets. In 2002, it received the Radio Program of the Year from the National Religious Broadcasters. You know, Joni's life is evidence of trust in the Lord in spite of her great physical hardship in life. Think about how easy it would be to get bitter and blame God and ask, why did this happen to me? But she didn't do that. She saw an opportunity to start a ministry worldwide, internationally, for the disabled people in this world. What a witness, what a testimony. You know, God can use a tragedy in our life for His glory to do great work in this world. What about you? What about your life? What does your life say when you go through hard times, or perhaps when the Lord disciplines you? How do you react to it? How do you react to it? What do you say? How do you act? Do we keep our trust in the Lord in the right place? Or do we allow ourselves to grow bitter, angry at God, to turn away from Him? Guys, we need to trust the Lord in every circumstance and situation in our life, no matter what we're going through, and give Him the glory. This world is temporary. Eternity is ahead, and that is so much longer than what we can comprehend. Let's put our trust in Him, knowing that our future is secure in His hands, yielding it over to Him, our God, our Creator, the life giver. Do not put our trust in ourselves or other people. Corrie ten Boom was a Dutch Christian, a Holocaust survivor who helped many Jews escape the Nazis during World War II. She said it well. She said, "Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God." When a train goes through a tunnel and it gets dark, you don't throw away the ticket and jump off. You sit still and trust the engineer. And that pictures so well life circumstances and situations that we go through. Jeremiah 17:78. "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit." Guys, we need to be trees planted by the water, trusting in the Lord. And no matter what situations, drought, heat we go through in life, we will bear fruit. We will bear fruit for the glory of God. For the glory of God. So let's keep our eyes on the Lord, who saves us from all hardships and provides for us even in troubled times, knowing and understanding that this life is temporary, eternity is ahead, and there is life, eternal life, in Christ Jesus. We put our complete trust in Him. Amen. Let's pray.